What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
God, we thank you this morning that you are in control of all circumstances, that we don't have to fear or worry because you are near and you are on our side, and we thank you for that, and we praise you, Lord. And I just pray that you would open our hearts to you this morning, that you would keep our focus on you and on glorifying you through our worship, through reading your word, and through better understanding who you are. We thank you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you.
Is there only one God?
What is God not?
Does God love me?
Can I get to know God?
If you ask kids, who is God? What would they say? With Mystery Island, your VBS becomes an amazing opportunity to give kids a big view of God from the Bible. With this Answers VBS program, your kids will be transported to a beautiful paradise. There, they will track down the truth about the one and only God. As kids sift through clues, they will discover that God is great. God is almighty. God is ruler of all. God is Emmanuel, our Savior. And God is trustworthy. This VBS is packed with biblical teaching that connects the Bible to the real world. All parts work together in fun ways to help your kids know who their awesome Creator God really is. And they'll discover the salvation he offers through Jesus Christ. Grab your sunscreen and get ready to experience paradise as you track down the one true God with Mystery Island. Order your Super Starter Kit today and discover the Answers VBS difference.
All right. So if you look in your bulletins, we got some more information about that in terms of what some of our needs are for VBS. One is just to get that on your radar so that you are planning ahead for that. But there are some really specific needs we're looking to cover. One is somebody to take care of decorations. So if that's of interest at all to you, if you think you could be coached through doing something like that, mark that on your connection card, and we'd love to get in contact with you. As well as there's a list of some other donation items and some things that you can do to be a part of it. If you're interested in volunteering and helping out with that, you can talk to Jen about that as well. Looking forward to that. There's a lot of great information that I think is coming in terms of seeing the attributes of God through that VBS program. If you did get a bulletin when you came in, would you please take out that connection card? We're going to ask you to fill that out and stick it in the offering plate later on as it goes by during the service. And mark on there if you have any prayer requests or any other ways that you would like to respond on the back of that card. If you are a newcomer, welcome. Special welcome to you. Thanks for joining us this morning. And I just want to say as a special welcome to you, if you take that card and drop it off at the Welcome Center after the service, we have a special gift as a way of just thanks for being here today and just hopefully a way to get to know you and help you find out a little bit more about who we are at First Free. And just a couple other things I'm going to highlight from the bulletin this morning, and that is we're working on a baptism class next Sunday, virus permitting. We are interested in just having that conversation about if you have, and I mentioned this last week, if you have put your faith in the Lord and you haven't followed that step in believer's baptism, that is something that Jesus tells us that we are to do, is to be baptized just in response to our faith and as a demonstration of our trust in him. So I encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, to attend that baptism class and consider following the Lord in that step of believer's baptism. And then finally, The plan is still, I believe, for Encore this coming Wednesday. And so that's Wednesday at noon. And if you would mark on your connection card, that'll help us to know how many people to prepare for there.
I had to ask Pastor Scott whether I was listening or not. If I missed something or that he didn't say or...
I missed something.
Scott. So we're living in unprecedented times, by the way. Historic times with the rise of the coronavirus, number 19. And so in terms of how we do church, that may change. But with the closing of schools, there will not be Awana programs or youth group following Monday. I think they have school on Monday and then no school Tuesday for a period of time. So there will be no Awana or youth group after Monday for an indefinite period of time. We'll let you know. The best way to keep up with news regarding First Free and what we're doing as a congregation in light of the coronavirus is to, on your connection card, sign up for PTOM's e-news. And we send out by MailChimp scripture readings for the week and news for the church family as you need it. So if you're not on that email list, I encourage you to get on it so that you can be current with news because things might change tomorrow. Right now, you know, I've been paying attention every day to press releases, to press conferences, going to the Iowa Health Department website and to the Illinois Department website. Even at 4 this morning, I was looking at the websites. And at this point, groups of 250 or less can still gather. So, but if it's 1,000 or more, then you're canceled. So we're safe. Although I notice that some of you are not sitting 6 feet apart. I don't think that applies to husbands and wives or children and parents. But, you know, 6 feet is the safe distance, I guess. So anyway, but the e-news will let you know. And today we're going to, I'll tell you in just a minute, because we need to give our children an opportunity to head out to Children's Church. Ages kindergarten through second grade, we have Children's Church for you today. For younger than that, we have nurseries for infants, toddlers, and preschoolers. And so, but right now, children kindergarten through second grade, you can come join me up here, and then we'll pray for you and send you off. Miss Carol's going to be with you today. This is interesting to me. You know, the people who are at risk are the ones that are 60 or above. That's us. Why are we here? Yeah. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for these children and for your love for them, that you have encouraged us as your people to welcome them, to love them, to care for them, to watch over them, to ensure that they have every opportunity to know you and love you and enjoy life as you intended. So we ask your hand of protection on them. We ask your blessing on them today that they might enjoy their time in Children's Church and getting to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can head off with Miss Carol. So, we have tried to start a series on broken, made new. And on March 1st, I shared a message from John, Jesus' words in John chapter 16, verse 33. In this world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Very applicable for our times. And in that message, I stated that one of the ways in which we as a people, as Christ followers, have trouble in this world is through natural disaster or disease. And we are on the threshold of experiencing the trouble of disease on a wide scale. We have individually, as persons, as families, experienced the trouble of disease, whether it's cancer or chronic illness in our family, cystic fibrosis, and its impact on individuals and a family. But now with the coronavirus, the reality is that a number of us will be infected and get sick, and some may die. That whether we spike it, the curve, or flatten it, the same number are going to be impacted. It's just a matter of what the rush is at the hospital. So the whole point of social distancing is to flatten the curve so that the healthcare system's not overwhelmed. So I'm not a scientist, nor am I the son of a scientist. I'm a pastor and the son of a pastor, but that's my understanding. So today has been declared a National Day of Prayer. And so since we are in this world and in this world we have trouble, we're going to stand and face it, first of all, in prayer, because we know the one who has overcome. And so we want to take time today to be in prayer. And we're going to have three sequences of prayer. The first sequence of prayer is going to be praying the promises of God. So I want you to just pause for a moment, and we'll give you a little time, but I want you to think about what promises has God brought to your mind in difficult times? What promises has God brought to you, your heart, to your life, to bear on you and encourage your faith when you've been in the midst of trouble or in the midst of testing? Identify a promise from God, from his word. Look it up in your Bible or look it up in the pew Bible that's in front of you. And then we're going to take time for you to come one after another to this mic. And the purpose of it being on the stand is that you don't have to touch it. So you don't have to transfer germs or receive germs. There you go. You may need to get on your tippy toes to reach it, or you may need to bend down. But read the promise from God's word. You can cite the reference. Read the promise from God's word, and then just briefly give a prayer of thanksgiving for God's greatness. Now, I'm going to go ahead and start, and then I'm going to encourage you to come. Read a promise from God's word and offer a brief prayer of thanksgiving for his greatness that's revealed in this promise. And that way we will acknowledge him as victor. We'll acknowledge him as our help in times of trouble. Let's begin offering the promise of God and prayers of thanksgiving. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. God is my help in trouble, or my God is my strength and refuge, my ever-present help in trouble. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have made yourself known in your word as the one who is ever ready, always available, ever present when we are in the midst of trouble. And so we offer you our thanksgiving today for the help that you have given and for the help that you will give in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God, we praise you that you are with us.
God, I thank you for March the 4th. When John and I were laughingly wondering how we're going to face the $1 million of medical bills that could be looming in the future, and thanking you for insurance and Facebook accounts and things like that. And then, Lord, you reminded me and John of Psalm 34:4-5. We need to seek you. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. And I pray for each person in this room today that as we leave here, we will not be marked by fear, but we will be marked by joy as we look to you and the comfort that you have. And God, thank you again for all the wonderful ways you have taken care of us in this country medically, and we'll continue to do that. Thank you for our great systems of intervention and provision. Thank you again. Amen.
Isaiah 43:13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Father, thank you for the promise that whatever we go through, you have our hand. You are going through it with us. We can trust you. Thank you.
Second Corinthians 12:9-10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardship and persecution and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Father God, we are a weak people, but you are sufficient for all of what we need. And I thank you, God, for just even this week, the reminder that amidst whatever hardship or difficulty we face, whether it's illness, whether it's work, whether it's loss of a job, whatever it is, Lord, you will be there. You are sufficient for us. And I thank you, God, for your grace. Amen.
Genesis 28:15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until what I have done, what I have promised you. Lord, we thank you that no matter what we're faced with, no matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on around us, you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you will bring us through whatever we're faced with, and we thank you for it.
31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for making me so aware of the fact that no matter what is going on, you are there. You will protect and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Romans 6:3-5. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that though our temporal bodies may suffer illness and death, you have given to us the promise of resurrection. You have given to us the promise through baptism in your Son that we will be united with you for eternity. And so I thank you for that hope.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I was given this scripture by another pastor, and when I was having a really hard time, right now, the U.S. is having a hard time with this virus, but God is not going to let us have the calamity, because it says so right here. It says that we will have a future and a hope. And I just thank God for that future and for that hope that we have in him. Amen.
Isaiah 49:23, the last two sentences in the verse. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who trust in me will never be put to shame. Heavenly Father, help us to never lose sight of the fact that you are the Lord, you are our God. And in the course of how this coronavirus plays out in our nation and in our world, I pray that more and more people would come to know through it that you are the Lord and would learn to put their trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. Dear God, thank you so much for just not leaving us here, but you send us this Holy Spirit to just be with us and guide us, and we're just so grateful for that, Lord. Amen.
Psalm 34:18-19. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Dear Lord, I just thank you that you are always with us and that we can find comfort in this promise that even when things are just going really bad and we are suffering, you are just near us and you stretch your arms out to us. In your name I pray, amen.
Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Heavenly Father, we ask you to watch over our congregation and our whole nation at this time, and keep the pestilence away from us in Jesus' name.
Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Dear Jesus, thank you that all things work together for your good. Amen.
As many of you know, the year in 2019 was not the best year for my family. And I just thank you so much for the prayers and support from everyone here. I don't know how people handle things if they don't have God, and I thank you for how you allowed him to work through you. Many, many scriptures helped us through this year. One of my favorites was Psalm 91, which starts, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." And Father God, I just thank you for that promise, that no matter what our life holds, we rest in the shadow of your grace and of your love and your protection. Nothing surprises you. Only what you allow will enter our lives, and you will be with us and walk with us no matter how difficult it is. You will never leave us, and you will guide us and be with us each and every day. Amen.
I've been reading in this past month a devotional book by Paul David Tripp entitled Broken Down House, in which he looks at the brokenness in our world and gives us hope in the midst of it. One of the stories that he tells in that book, introducing a theme of faith, is that he was coming out of a sports event in Philadelphia, and sometimes those Philadelphia sports fans can be a little rowdy. It's not the only place, but it has a reputation. It's the city of brotherly shove. And so he was coming out, and he observed as he came out a group of grown men who were drunk and angry. The Eagles must have lost. And they were belligerent and boisterous and kind of looking for trouble. And as he watched them, a father and a son came walking along. And the boy was maybe 7 or 8 years old and had his hand in dad's hand. And the boy didn't have a care in the world. Dad was being very astute and watching and paying attention to what these men were doing as he navigated a path through them on his way to the parking lot. And Paul Tripp was struck by that. That the father was vigilant and the son didn't have a care in the world because his hand was in his father's hand. And in the midst of any trouble that we go through as those who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have that same confidence. We are in the grip of our Father's hand. His hand grips ours. And we should rest and trust in him. That's the purpose of sharing promises and giving thanks. Because we can trust our Father. And we can trust his promises in the midst of trouble. Joshua did. Joshua, at the end of his life, speaks to the people of God, and he says, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises of the Lord your God has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Joshua 23, verse 14. The angel who comes to Mary and announces that she, a virgin, is going to give birth to the Messiah, to the Son of David. Mary says, how can this be? And he tells her. And then he ends his word with this. Because no word from God has ever failed. That's the word of the angel to Mary. No word from God has ever failed. And then we're reminded from Isaiah, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Isaiah 55, 10, and 11. So we shift from giving thanks for the promises of God to a time of intercession. And we're going to use the whiteboard in just a second to put up some ways in which people are going to be impacted by the coronavirus. And we already have been inconvenienced by it. If you're out of toilet paper, good luck. So, borrow from a friend. I was on the phone with my mother last night, and she had sent my sister-in-law to the store to buy her groceries, which she does every week, and toilet paper was on the list. And she got a call from my sister-in-law saying, there is no toilet paper. So we can pray about toilet paper. For my mom. Hear the word of the Lord. Solomon the king, at the dedication of the temple, because God has chosen to dwell among his people. And this is the prayer that Solomon prayed as he dedicated the temple. And it's our cue as we think about ways to intercede for people during this time. Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or in earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continually and wholeheartedly keep your ways. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, can't contain you, how much less this temple that I have built. Yeah, give attention to your servant's prayer and my plea for mercy, Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there. So that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When famine or plague comes to the land, blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges us in any of our cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, when a prayer or plea is made by anyone from among your people, being aware of the afflictions of their own hearts and spreading out their hands towards you, hear from heaven. Forgive and act. Deal with everyone according to their deeds, since you know our hearts, for you alone know every human heart. so that we might fear you at all time and live in the land that you gave us. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts toward him to walk in obedience to him and keep his commands. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and cause his people, Israel, according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And so we want to pray and intercede. And what I want to put on the whiteboard are things that come to mind in terms of ways in which people are or will be impacted by the coronavirus, so that we can pray for people, categories of people or individual people, but let's think in terms of ways people in general are going to be impacted or have been. Yeah. Yeah, good. Work is going to be impacted. Some people are going to have to work from home. Some people are, people with hourly jobs may not have a paycheck right away.
My wife and daughter are trying to get home from Europe on Tuesday. Yeah.
Hannah and Boosie are in Austria, and they're supposed to fly home on Tuesday. So they have something to navigate along with hundreds of others. So travelers. I don't have spell check. Help me here. Is it ER? Whew. And that is an E, not a C. All right. Yes, our healthcare workers. The people that will be on the front lines of care. Yep. Students. Say it again. The food supply. Good. And then, John, what were you going to say?
Parents.
Yeah. Let's put parents right by the students there. Amen. Yeah, child care becomes an issue. Food supply. Yes. Residents of long-term care settings. Shut-ins. How about just anyone over 60? It was 70, and then they changed it to 60. I thought I was outside of the line. So, but let's put, what did you say? Home shut-ins. Karen, what? Oh, homeless. Yes. Yeah. Our homeless population. And those who serve them. Yeah, we're going to come to that. Yeah. First responders. And then what was the other one shout from the back? The sports athletes. Yeah, we'd hate to have them go without their paychecks. So. Oh, very good. The chronically ill. And I'm going to squeeze some juice out of this. Those with chronic illness. Let's leave it at that. You can think of others. Ron? Say that again? Yeah. Yeah. The reality that someone's going to lose. The grieving. Okay. Good. We don't know how it's all going to play out. But we know that the reality of this epidemic is on our shores. It's in our state. And before long, it'll be in our community. And we will be touched by it in any number of ways. And I realized that I should have gotten a new marker before I started this. Maybe it would help to bring it out of the light. I don't know. But let's take some time just personally to pray. You can turn and pray with the person next to you. But let's take the next few minutes to just pray for it in general, yeah. But if someone comes to mind, an individual comes to mind, pray for them. Let's take time to pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us to pray at all times and with all manner of prayer for all the saints. And today we have named a number of ways in which people are going to be impacted by the coronavirus as it spreads across our country and our community. And we pray that you would bring to our minds day by day, while we're driving, while we're running or walking, while we're exercising, while we're working, bring to our minds the names of people who we should intercede for. Employees, travelers, healthcare workers, students, parents, individuals with chronic illness, all those who have reduced immune systems, for the food supply, for residents of long-term care, for shut-ins, for the homeless, for first responders, for athletes, and for those who will be touched by grief, we commit them to you and ask you to, by your Spirit, to continue to bring people to mind that we might intercede for them in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Final shift. The time of crisis is an opportunity for the gospel. And that's what we need to be mindful of. Yes, we're called to intercede. That's a matter of obedience. We're called to give thanks and trust God. That's a matter of obedience. But times of crisis are also an opportunity for the gospel. Going back to the book of Acts in chapter 8, Saul was standing as a witness at the stoning of Stephen. And the record of Scripture is that he agreed completely with it. And after that stoning, a great wave of persecution began that day and swept over the whole city of Jerusalem and impacting all the believers in that city. So that, catch this, all of the believers, that's thousands, all of the believers except for the apostles, that was 12, were scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria. And Saul went about seeking to destroy the church from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. But the believers who were scattered, hunkered down in fear? No. No. The believers who were scattered shared the good news wherever they went. Etch those words on your mind. The believers who were scattered shared the good news wherever they went. So there may be a point where we're mandated that you can't meet together. Well, wherever you go, share the good news wherever you go. I want to share with you just a couple of highlights. First of all, from Nate Ryder, March 5th. Last week, our pause church was forced into an uncomfortable corner. The coronavirus had just shut down the schools all over Japan. And now the government of Japan was also encouraging parks to close, business people to work from home, and sports events to be canceled. What would our church do? We had often toyed with the idea of streaming our service online and even had most of the equipment to do so in place. But we had never had a good reason to move forward with it. Enter Corona. In 2 days, we tried to pull off a small miracle to transmit our first live stream service. And just moments before the service time, we still couldn't get the audio to sound right. We were about to cancel, but one good idea led to another, and our amazing pause team pulled it off. And with a surprising large number of people at our service, we streamed to even more people online. In fact, over 40 individuals and families tuned in online, many people that still came to the service. The result was even better than expected, March 6th. I want to give you a quick update on the situation here in Japan and how our YouTube presence has reached more people than ever. Last night, Tokyo time, We launched our newest YouTube video, and at the end, I shared a link to the live stream of my message. Not only is our Life in Japan video getting nearly 50% more views than usual, it already has over 5,000 views as I'm writing. But look at what happened, and then he put a screenshot up of the analytics for the live stream. He said, the viewership for our sermon video went up by 250%. That was 42 people, or 42 views, but 250%. Our prayer is to reach millions of people self-quarantined and living in fear by the message of hope in Jesus Christ. And so he says, pray that they would hear the invitation to watch the live stream. Pray that as they watch the live stream, the word of God would sink deep in their hearts and bear permanent fruit. Crisis, an opportunity for the gospel. I'll share another one by email, not this morning because we're running low on time. But pray for our missionaries. They're impacted by this too. And pray that God would give them eyes to see the opportunities that are before them for the gospel. And then pray for us and pray for each other that we wouldn't be hunkered down in a bunker mentality and living in fear, but that we would be watchful for the opportunity for the gospel in the midst of our present circumstances. Here's what I would recommend. First, be alert to the needs of neighbors, especially the elderly. They might need groceries. They might need help. Check in with them. Call isolated members of our church family and pray for them over the phone. Ask them how they're doing. Pray for them over the phone. Write and send notes of encouragement to people. And if you haven't signed up for the e-news from First Free, because if there comes a time when we can't gather here, we envision you gathering people in your home. And maybe even a neighbor to join you and watching the live stream from First Free, and then taking time to pray for each other in light of needs, and then maybe share a meal together, all while observing the habits to reduce infection, like staying home if you're ill and not shaking hands or hugs, giving hugs, washing hands regularly, and covering your cough and sneeze. But there's an opportunity for the gospel if we're scattered throughout the Quad Cities and can't meet here. And we want to challenge you, and we want to be ready to lead in seizing that moment. Let's pray. And we'll worship in song and worship through giving as we close. Let's pray, and then we'll receive the offering even as we lift our voices in praise to our King. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are on the throne. You were on the throne at the time of the flood of Noah, in which humanity suffered great loss, except for those who were in the ark. And you are on the throne today over our circumstances and over our lives. And we give thanks that you rule and reign, and that every promise that you have ever given is for us and will never fail. We give thanks. We offer our gifts to you this morning that you might use them to supply the needs of this church, but also to provide for the sending of the message to the ends of the earth through those like Nate and Ruth and others that we support month to month in their endeavor to share Christ with the nations. We ask your blessing on them. your blessing on us as we seek to walk in step with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The good news of the gospel.